Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for nerds all across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination. And with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian. I'm here with all of my friends and colleagues and all that people we've talked about. I have Pat to my left.
What up?
Oral is across from me.
I was here on time.
You were.
Are we retconning that?
Kind of.
For this episode, he was on time.
Okay, that's fair. That's
it's
fair.
It's the magic of podcasting.
Jared is to his left.
Hi.
And then Jeff.
My name is Big Daddy Jeff.
And then we have BJ.
Hey, how's it going?
And I'm Brian. As I said previously, today we're here to talk about Star Wars. A Force Awake? No, the Force.
A Force.
A Force.
A Force. A random occurrence.
I blame the shrimp. It is made. No, The Force Awakens.
The Force needs a nap. The Force has had a long day.
The Force always needs a nap. This was originally supposed to be called The Path of the Jedi. Did you know that?
It was also supposed to be called Shadows of the Empire. Did you know that?
Oh, well, they've had a couple names.
They have.
Now, The Force Awakens, if you've not been anywhere with television, internet, reel-to-reel.
Sounds like Superman. Is that Superman?
It's very similar
to Superman.
John Williams. I'm holding up a BB-8. Pat is playing the opening of the BB-8 application on his smartphone. I don't know how well this is going to translate to audio for the podcast, but...
Fuck it, let's do it live.
You can show them on the video.
Yeah, there's a video.
But the video, clearly you can see, as my BB-8 hovers over the potted shrimp. We are a bit Star Wars obsessed in this household. If you know me at all, you know that I have two things in my life that I'm a bit obsessed about over.
I'm a
Legos,
fan.
Doctor Who.
I'd say I'm a fan.
What's what was that MMORPG that you played?
In fact, I am playing it again. Oh, I am
Star
back
Wars.
On the Old Republic like nobody's business. Oh, my God.
SWTOR?
SWTOR.
SWTOR.
In fact, I finally joined the Rough Trade Guild on the Old Republic.
You do like the Rough Trade.
I tend to, yes.
Yeah.
So, okay.
You can find that at Parliament House as well.
That's how we call that Hanks.
That is the roughest trade.
The rough trade. Hanks is the roughest trade.
Yes.
Force Awakens, it's the new Star Wars, Episode 7. In the however many part, in the infinite part series now that Disney owns it. You all know about Star Wars. We've all either heard of it, we've seen it. If you haven't seen it, we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
You see in the power of myth.
Exactly.
A hero begins his journey.
With a thousand faces.
Yes. And then I don't want to do it. It's not for me. I can't do this. Well, you know what? Guess like I have to do it after all.
That wasn't actually that much. Oh, Boyega's journey. We'll get to it. Alright, so let's start with what we loved, and then we'll go to any problems we may have. Some of us may have a few. I loved the movie. I enjoyed it thoroughly. There have been, I've only seen it once. I will put that out there.
You don't love the movie.
I do love the movie.
I've seen it once.
I have problems, but we will get to those. But overall, I was very happy that they recaptured the joy that is Star Wars to me and did it in a way that was very entertaining, very commercially successful. Holy shit, is it commercially successful?
Breaking records every day. It's almost going to break Avatar's record, domestic record.
Keeping our fingers crossed. Away.
They said by Monday, actually, it should be.
And Avatar.
By the time y'all hear this, it should be done.
It took a lot longer for Avatar to break that.
And Avatar is really not that good.
And, you mean Pocahontas?
It was just Ferngully. A vehicle for 3D.
Yeah. So I loved it, and I'll start with that.
I love that I stayed awake for the whole movie.
Good job.
And I loved BB-8.
Aww.
As soon as BB-8 came, I'll roll it onto my screen. I was like, yay!
Can you really call it bareback?
Wait. Is that what BB stands for?
Mm-hmm.
Bareback and 8?
Wow. 8 or more.
That's Jeff.
I think 8's the minimum these days.
Oh. Makes sense now.
But is it 8 AOL? Or?
Oh. What's the units for that 8? Yes, I know you love BB-8, which is why I made sure you got a BB-8, even though it's not there.
So I made sure you got the Spiro BB-8. So that way I can play with it.
Exactly.
Happy birthday! Mm-hmm. I get to play with this, too.
So you love BB-8?
Yep. Oral, what'd you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I also had issues, and after seeing it, there was a good solid day and a half where I was just debating about it in my mind and parsing it out. I do know that Kylo Ren is the high school boyfriend I always dreamed I would have.
With that hair?
With the hair.
Oh my god.
And I just, no one understood him but me. And no one understood me but him. And I was in love with him, mother. And we're going to fly. And we're going to the big city on Coruscant.
Oh, wait, they blew that up. No, they didn't. Just kidding.
I enjoyed the movie. That was very entertaining. I liked that it was faithful to the design sensibilities from the original three.
The Ralph McQuarrie?
Yes, the Ralph McQuarrie designs.
They didn't try and clean it up and future it up.
Yeah. That was nice that they kept that level of sophistication of their technology. And I just liked that. I'll punctuate that more when I talk about the things I didn't like, but for the most part, everything that was Star Wars was amplified in this film.
It was turned up to 11.
Yes.
Yeah. I think my favorite part was actually, the movie was great. I love the movie. But one of the things that I love most that was yielded from the movie is the Twitter feed Emo Kylo Ren.
Oh.
Yeah! That is my crack cocaine now.
It's great.
It's really,
Yes, it's so good. But the movie was good, but that's just the gift that keeps on giving.
I gotta say, they got a Death Star right. If you're gonna from the original movies, if you're gonna rebuild the Death Star, rebuild that shit to not just take out a planet, but take out a goddamn star system. Let's be clear. Oh, you thought you had an army? Just kidding.
Well, to be fair, this was more true to form a Death Star. Then the other one was a Death Star.
Exactly.
Well, it caused the death of a star.
Yeah, but this was an actual star.
No, it was a planet.
But it used the power.
A giant curtain ball.
Yeah, but we're starting off at Star Killer Base. That's what we're talking about.
Star Killer Base. Star Killer from Lucas's original Star Wars script. I think it was Anakin or Luke. No, Luke. Luke
Star
Killer. It was
supposed to be Luke Star Killer.
So that was an interesting
thing. So overall, I think it's, because I went into the movie I don't know, this has been going on a while, and I've read a lot of books and comics. And
what kind of books?
Are they going to...
you read the Expanded Universe?
Yes. Not all of them, but a long time ago when I was a child. But I'm thinking, when going into it, the whole movie, I'm like, this isn't going to affect me nearly as much as watching them again for the first time, and no, it completely took me all the way back there.
Did you squirt?
A little bit. Yeah, okay. There was a little bit of a slug stamp on the chair.
I didn't mean that. I mean, did you cry? Oh my god.
No. I didn't cry.
No, I cried like a bitch.
No. Like a bitch.
Couple times where I was totally.
Like
oh, yeah.
A bitch.
I keep it in, sort of, but I was crying. I was upset. I was crying for both joy and sort of like, oh, they finally. You
know, I was on the edge of crying from joy because
I was on the edge of glory.
I'm on the edge of crying. Oh.
I admit, like, there were a couple moments, and I think it's part of it is the. I was thinking back, and actually, Jeff and I had lunch. Had lunch with our father earlier yesterday, and I was like, when did we see Star Wars in the theaters? Obviously, I'm 39. I would have been very young to see the first movie. New Hope, Star Wars. But I do remember seeing Empire fairly early in my life and having like the record and the toys, of course, and all that. But I definitely know that we saw, I think you and I both saw a Return of the Jedi in theaters.
I just recall my earliest memory of Star Wars was you had the art book, I think, from Return of the Jedi.
I had a record and it had a booklet in the record that flip through that. But yes. Then I think I had another book, too.
My sexual awakening was definitely the metal bikini Leia.
Really?
Because it was a big, big spread on that. Because it was a vinyl.
Spread.
Yes.
Leia spread.
Yes. Okay. It was a vinyl, so it was a giant booklet, yep. And it was just like, hey, nobody's here. That's an attractive
thing. No! Oh,
yes.
I didn't even know that.
Yes.
But all right, but I had a fuzzy little Ewok doll that I loved. I loved them so... So
but that's
what?
Funny because you're younger, and I thought the whole thing from When I Met Your Mother
was kind of older people didn't like Ewoks.
I hate Ewoks, too. I'm not a fan. It's a low-budget Wookiee.
Oh, I am into
bears. Every time I would ride Star Tours, I would get really mad because you have this entire galaxy to go to, and we're going to Endor? Nobody's fucking going to Endor. Wookiees are awesome. Ewoks are stupid. And I really wanted them to kill Wookiees.
Let's just take a moment here. There was this thing going around a comic shop with Aaron, and then even with Cap a little bit.
Because
with you,
Aaron,
you were all convinced. I'm messing with Aaron that they were going to show Wicket getting killed on screen,
and he thinks that was cut.
Okay.
So he may, when they release the first DVD with the extended version,
which Abrams has now said they won't be doing.
Yeah, but
who knows?
Yeah, time will tell.
Yeah.
He swears that they were going to kill Wicket, and I was waiting for that. I want to just slaughter each and every one.
That's
of
so awful.
As well,
so
one of the
horrible.
Planets that they blew up with
yes.
the...
Well,
I
just,
yeah. No, because I think the reason is... So in the movie, Kylo Ren is a big fan of his, as was revealed in the movie, his grandfather, Darth Vader.
He's a Sith fanboy,
but specifically his grandfather, Darth Vader.
He's a Vader fan. Right.
Now,
oh,
he has...
Great picture I found.
He has that burned remains of the helmet from Darth Vader. The only way he could have gotten it, well, not the only way, but one of the ways would be to go back to Endor and find the burial remains and take the helmet. So, like, that was, I think, the genesis of they're going to kill Wicket. But they didn't kill Wicket. The movie was about moving forward, albeit in a way that was very referential to the past. And that's one of my big problems. I understood why they did it, but the movie was a strong retread of A New Hope. In many structural ways, in many specific ways, it was meant to be a new New Hope. And I get it, it's safe, because with the prequels, they didn't quite do that, although there's elements of A New Hope in, what was the first movie called? The Phantom Menace. But they did Lucas did, for better or for worse, a different thing in the prequels. But in this, they were like, nope, forget the prequels, we don't care about that, we know that's kind of a bunch of baggage.
You remember that video of the kid who played WoW, but then his mom or somebody took it away from him?
Yes.
So they superimposed Kylo Ren's helmet on his room, and he's shoving the big Claymore lightsaber up his butt and making that noise, and there's Darth Vader posters everywhere.
But anyway, my point is, that's a good thing, because I think it made it safe, and it made it commercially very viable. But I also feel like if you're going to do more Star Wars, do something new, do something, and that's what I hope the next two movies are going to be.
Or even the little spin-off movies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It could be something different. So that's my first problem. What about you?
Starkiller Base is the stupidest thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
What, the Hoth Star?
So, going in, the Empire is a bunch of fascists. Straight up.
Well, yes, you look at all of their costumes, and it's 100% more Nazi this time.
100%? 300%! Yeah. So, like, that scene on Star Killer Base, where you see, like, huge red banners, where you see them all lined up, we're just like, oh, okay, so you're not even gonna pretend. Like, okay, there's fake, they're the SS. Like, we got it. So the Nazis weren't scary because they had these massive super weapons that were going to wipe out society. They were scary because they had a nationalistic fervor. They had production lines. Yeah, some of their technology was a little advanced, so they had, like, fantastic U-boats, the Panzer Division. Like, these are the things that gave the Allies a run for the money. From a militaristic standpoint, only being, what, 30 years? It doesn't make sense for you to triple down on this weapon that makes no fucking sense. They're the Derringers of space.
It's like
they
Hux
fire
is like,
once, and you drop them because they're worthless and they get destroyed. It makes no fucking sense. Had Starkiller Base been like, I don't know, like a shipyard or something that like literally was a strategic hold for them, and you go in like Rebels would do, like Black Ops style, and sabotage it, and blown it up, that would have been fine. And it's not like I'm mad at the movie because I don't think they did the work. They did the work. We see it. It's a really good movie.
Total great
But
production.
Now we've done the trench run three times to destroy something for the third time. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. How the fuck do you come out of the Empire, the ashes of the Empire, as the First Order? And you're just like, you know what? You know what didn't work two times before? You know what we've sunk all of our resources into? Death Stars. You know what we're going to do?
Yep.
We're going to terraform a fucking planet. We're going to have one massive super mega star destroyer. And then one fucking planet that's going to get blown up again.
By that critical design flaw.
And it just doesn't, it's stupid. And like as soon as the plans for Starkiller Base showed up in the war room, I checked out of the movie emotionally.
Wow, really?
Like, I was done. And the only thing that brought me back wasn't the major death. It was the battle sequence right afterwards. It was them facing off with Kylo Ren.
Oh, yeah.
That's what brought the stakes back to me.
You mean it wasn't Poe Dameron's slick little smirky pilot, you know,
I love Poe and Ben together. That's adorable. But, like, I just, it's stupid and I hate it. And it's a misstep.
I agree.
It's a misstep.
I think the icing on the cake to that, though, was the rally that they had prior to, where it was basically the military leader. Because, you know, as Kylo Ren is like the leader of the Knights of Ren or whatever.
Yeah.
General Hux is the military commander. Like, I'm going to bring all of my forces here so they can see my great speech and we can fire the weapon. That way everybody's on planet at the same time.
Of course.
So that way, and that was one of the gripes I've heard multiple reviews have said, you don't really know where the First Order stands at the end of this movie. Like, did they just lose their entire military because
right.
they all just yeah. put all of them on the planet
and
at once?
This gets to a huge problem with the movie that I had, is there's so little time in between major set pieces and action to explain what the fuck is going on. Because, yes, you get the idea that the First Order comes from the Empire, and that the Resistance comes from the Rebellion, even though there's also a Republic. You get these vague sense of things happening. And then you get that there's this Coruscant-looking seat of the New Republic planet that's blown up. But you don't know that it's Coruscant. You don't know that it's whoever.
You know that
whatever
it's not Coruscant.
You don't know what it is.
They just mention it,
Republican, and then they blew it up.
Do you know why Alderaan is super important? Alderaan is super important because Leia is from Alderaan. She knows that she's lost her entire planet, and she's fighting for her survival and for the memory of Alderaan. Do you know what we think about those planets?
Nothing.
We don't know who they are. We don't know what they were called.
Right.
They're just gone, and it was the seat of the New Republic.
Right.
Okay, that's great. You could have blown up Austin for all I know. Like,
well, and it's true. Different Facebook articles I've seen put out, it's all the back matter.
It's the script.
To the movie.
They published the script. Well, they didn't publish it. Someone leaked the script. And these art books.
Which
other
have
supplemental things that give you more detail.
Like, this is what the state of the galaxy is right now. This is where the Republic is at. This is why they're called the Rebellion or the Resistance instead of the Rebellion.
Right.
This is what the First Order is. But they have to explain all that in the back matter. So you're going to the movie. This is after they released this after the movie came out. So you're like, wait, what the fuck just happened? And you got to read up on it.
I get that they want to go away from Lucas's prequels where they over-explained everything.
Midichlorians.
Midichlorians, Trade Federation, all that. But, I mean, a little bit of stakes, and I'm glad you mentioned that the Leia thing. Because you're right. Alderaan matters because of Leia. Who the fuck was related to? And there was a character in the, I guess, the script or something that was on that planet that was related to Leia that would have been the bridge, and they cut it.
They just, you know why those planets are important? Because they could be seen perfectly in the sky from the planet that the people that needed to see those planets being blown up were on.
Exactly. And then you go, what the fuck is this? Is this like Firefly and it's just all a big, giant fucking solar system? Like, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. But,
because, you know, if we were outside right now and five planets blew up, we could see them perfectly in the sky.
Yes.
I think that the movie still works in spite of all these awful...
It totally works.
Physics-y, Star Wars-y, yeah.
Jumping in the light speed, hop, skipping a jump, minute and a half, we're good.
Hey, hang on.
We need to be.
Yep. I broke off the thingamajig. You should have no problem with light speed now.
Can we talk about... Okay, so we mentioned Poe. Let's start with that. I want to go back to... I want to get to Phasma. So
don't you dare besmirch Oscar Isaac's
I'm not.
Reputation.
I think the best thing to happen from that movie, in addition to the BB-8, My Two Dads thing that is awesome. I love My Two Dads. There's the graphic of Poe reacting to seeing Finn being alive and wearing his jacket.
Oh, well, the
where he's like biting his lip, like, like that is the best thing to come out of Star Wars.
See, I never picked up on that at all throughout the movie.
I couldn't place it until my boss is like, I think Poe Dameron is a homosexual. I'm like, that's it! Like, literally every light bulb.
Yeah, he was very happy every time he'd see Finn. Like, buddy! How's it going? Oh, you got my jacket. It looks so much better on you.
Bro.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, though, he had also just gotten tortured and thought he was gonna die.
So anybody would have looked good at that point?
I'm pretty sure, like...
Did he see the Daniel Craig Stormtrooper? I mean, comparatively.
What were you gonna say, Gary?
Oh, no, it's just that it felt shoehorned, this explanation that he's gay. It's just, I never picked up on it.
I don't believe it's actually true, because let's be honest, in the Star Wars universe, the only characters that have sexuality are maybe the Skywalkers and Han Solos, and that's it.
Interesting.
Not even the Skywalkers. Leia.
Right.
Luke is
everybody else
ambiguous.
Could be, who cares?
Well, because that's Lando, the Jedi way, is to be chased.
Unless you're Anakin, then you get in there.
Or unless you're Luke and you have a daughter named Rey. That's another thing.
They have not confirmed
she
that.
She learned Wookiee from her Uncle Chewie while hanging
you
out
mean
with her.
Bear? Every time Chewbacca or any Wookiee now comes on the screen, this one's like, Bear, what's wrong?
Hey,
Bear, what's going on? Like, he's not a bear, he's a Wookiee.
Hey, Bear.
Although he does a great L'Oreal ad, let's be honest. Have you seen that?
The reason I do that is because of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
When Ted finds out that Stella had never seen Star Wars, he makes her watch it, and then she pretends to like it, and then Ted leaves the room, and Marsha goes, you hated it, didn't you? And she goes, and she starts complaining, and then she goes, and then you got that walking bear that's just going walking around growling. You were wrong. Yeah, Bear, that sounds like a good idea, Bear.
You haven't made me watch that episode. I need to see that one.
Okay, since you mentioned the L'Oreal ad, let's talk about everything has fucking Star Wars on it.
Oh, God.
Drinking water, apples, lipstick,
oranges,
shower heads, Campbell's soup,
tampons.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You can have a Kylo Ren helmet tent, and you can sleep in a tauntaun in your Kylo Ren tent.
Well, the tauntauns, that's a thank you thing. That's
right.
Brilliant.
Right, but a Kylo Ren tent.
Yeah.
Not so much.
There's a Star Wars serial too, so you can.
There's always been a series.
Yeah, no, cereals are an old product place.
Hey, certain
tampons
are
new. Tampons and condoms, or they have Kylo Ren condoms.
There's makeup. There's Star Wars makeup now.
Yes,
they did that for Hunger Games too.
I think Jared has a Star Wars collection of jewelry, or one of the jewelry
really?
Companies.
Yeah, you, Jared?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. He's wearing them right now. Chrysler has been playing ads. I think Mark Hamill does the narration for the ads.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he needs to have some line from something.
Can we talk about the fact that as much as I was happy to see him at the end, I really wanted more Mark Hamill in my movie, and I get it. I've heard the interviews with them. And
the fucking MacGuffin of this entire movie
I know.
Was pointless.
But I love Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, and I want that. He's a MacGuffin in the movie, but he shouldn't be. He should be a main...
No, he's not the MacGuffin. The fucking map on BB-8.
But for somebody who ran away and didn't want to be found, everybody sure seemed to have a copy of the map.
Oh, you don't have a copy?
I have a copy here. I didn't get it on my thumb drive.
Just missing one piece.
You put that on my Dropbox real quick. I didn't get a copy of that map.
Oh, I'm sorry. R2-D2's to all your power save. Well,
see, that brought me... Bad. We didn't have an iPod charger till you got here, so we plugged him in. It was old technology. It was that old pin set.
Let's go over the
Phasma.
Let's start with Phasma.
The
I
non-existent
love
character.
The idea of Phasma.
Of course.
I love
but how
Brent.
Was I supposed to know she was a woman if her armor didn't have boobies? How was I supposed to understand this?
I will say that is probably the most disappointing thing about all these movies. The first movie. Because, like, she was made out to be such a big, important part of the story. And first time she shows up, hey, make sure you do that thing. It's like total middle management.
Let me see you when you get your helmet back on.
And then the second time, she just rolls over and is like, oh, all right, yeah, sure.
And then they throw her into the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she's totally Boba Fetted. Now, I think she'll be back because I think she's too popular with everybody. Although, Boba Fett, you know.
I'm positive that they're going to do something with her, but this was just kind of a, like, there's this character that exists. And that actually brings me all to full circle to the whole thing. With what I didn't like about the movie is the fact that we're getting Star Wars.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
That knows it's a three-part series.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting that. And
it's the Marvel problem. Every Marvel movie has to relate to every other Marvel movie, so you're never going to get a self-contained story. You're going to get, I'm in this next thing.
You know the flaw in that, though, not to say Star Wars didn't have the flaw, but like you have series like The Matrix, where, it was the first one good movie. They did not plan for a trilogy. And when you add two movies or you shoehorn two movies onto one that wasn't planned as one, it stands out a bit. So you almost have to have the idea in your mind of, this is where we'd like for it to go. Everybody knew, though, when you pick up a Star Wars license if you're Disney, you're going to milk that shit till the day you die.
Right. So I mean, it wasn't a matter of like, let's see how episode 7 does.
Right. We're
and
not sure.
We'll plan out where it goes. No, it was like, okay, episode 7, episode 8, episode 9, Rogue One, Han Solo, like all this stuff.
Boba Fett gets a fucking movie.
They knew that.
I was going to say, the reason J.J. Abrams, I think, did not stay on is his strength is he's a cover artist. He plays other genres and other styles like Spielberg or Star Trek. He plays that and does what works well in those.
Mission Impossible 3?
Oh,
he only did 3.
I think he knows and realized that for the franchise to really thrive, they need some new thing come in. And that's what Rian Johnson's role is, I think.
And Abrams is very good as a producer because you look at his list of different companies with Bad Robot. He's got a lot of good stuff as a producer.
But, I mean, they needed somebody safe. They needed an Abrams. They needed someone to relaunch, and that's the new hope thing. New characters. We talked about Phasma.
Well, and to your point with Phasma, he did an interview with Rolling Stone before the movie came out, and it is mentioned in there that Phasma's role in 7 got dramatically cut down, and she will have a much bigger role in 8 and possibly 9.
That's correct. She's a cool character. Now,
here's what I'm hoping, though.
She's shiny.
I'm hoping that her role kind of goes in with Poe, and they have this kind of weird, like, maybe coy relationship thing where they get a little flirty
like
back.
Moonlighting.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to be moonlighting.
There's speculation that she is...
Resistance?
No, she's the mother of... Oh, fuck. I just watched this video on YouTube. Ray?
BB-8.
No, I think Poe's mom. Or
No.
Poe's not Ray's in the comics. No. Oh, I gotta go back.
Kylo Ren, give me something.
No.
Snoke.
There's a whole thing where Snoke is Plagueis, and like it goes through this whole thing, and this person's theory is that Rey is Luke's daughter, and like Phasma. Like there's a connection to these characters that she's the mother of. Like I'll have to go back to
my favorite theory right now. The Plagueis Snoke thing is that's Divine Grace actually the one who introduced me to that one.
Oh, I know which one you're about to mention. It's a bit weird.
Rey is Obi-Wan's daughter. Like, that's the most far afield. Like, I just...
Frozen and Cartwright?
No,
just
Obi-Wan.
Just the sperm.
Oh, well, yeah. Like,
they thought it out.
Something
and they...
distant. Maybe granddaughter. But, like, a direct descendant of Obi-Wan, not... Anyway, who knows? Like, this is where, like, every time a new Doctor Who thing happens, I get all excited. I want to make these cool theories, and everybody's talking online. But honestly, I don't think any of that's going to be what happens. It's going to be a little more pedestrian. It's going to be a little more obvious. I think the twin argument from the expanded universe, but also just it makes sense, does work in favor of Rey being Han and Leia's kid. But at the same time, they had to have been mind wiped because they wouldn't have treated their daughter like that if they had had any idea, oh, we abandoned our daughter on this planet. Like,
if
that
you
was
haven't
awkward.
Seen her... since a young age, you may not realize that that's your
daughter. You don't just abandon your daughter and then not keep tabs. Like, that's, to me, the whole reason why Han's even around there is because that's what's happened. But,
well, then you have the old guy at the beginning of the movie that nobody really quite knows why he was
there.
Max von Sydow,
yeah,
really?
By Max von Sydow, and you just... But that's why I think his role is going to be more important.
He's back in the... Apparently, his character's build for the next movie. And possibly flashbacks. There's going to be a lot of flashbacks.
Okay, so he's the old mentor character. He's Ben Kenobi.
Possibly.
Well, Ben Kenobi is friggin' Han Solo in this movie. I mean, when they...
Well, no. I'm talking about the old mentor character in the beginning.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Since that torch went to Han Solo at the end, where they...
As soon as he started doing anything around, like, force field reactors, I'm like, oh, that bitch is being Obi-Wan.
And then there's an audience. That's when you know something's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So what we think of the black guy?
Finn Boyega. No, he's amazing, although I will tell you this. I loved him. I think he's great. He's BB-8's adopted father, whatever. Then he said droid, please.
He did.
I confirmed that's what he said.
No, he did. That was a big
one. And I thought, if it didn't work in context, that was almost too much. Like,
yeah.
of the more modern... speech patterns or things like that was in there. I was like, oh, don't do that. Like, I don't want it to feel dated, and I feel like that's a more modern contrivance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But other than that, I think he was great. He played he had the most of a journey. He went from this stormtrooper to I don't want to be a stormtrooper to I'm going to lie to get out of this situation to I'm owning up to this and I want to help you. Like, that was a strong arc.
Well, and I say the black guy because it was true. It's like they gave more diversity to this cast than a lot of the previous ones.
Good.
But even then, it's like, we have one guy in the entire galaxy.
Who says, I don't want to be a stormtrooper?
No, who's like, the only, like, African-American, you know, British... But was there any other character?
What's interesting, he doesn't have a British accent.
Lupita Nyong'o. Was a small Yoda-looking little thing.
Maz Kanata is awesome.
Oh,
she
Maz
is.
Was amazing.
She
Maz
is,
was
but,
really good.
But apparently she was a horrible voice and screen capture actress because a lot of Maz's parts were cut out of this.
Yeah, they said
yeah.
She was supposed to go to the Resistance and have a part there. And then
she's also built in the next movie as well.
Like, I love her. Have you seen the picture online of her as Ruth? Not Ruth.
Sophia.
The
I know
eyes.
These eyes.
Oh my god!
The
oh yes, that is
I've seen
glorious.
Those eyes before.
But I will tell you the thing that I love the most, and the Josh from my fanboy echoed this. Rey is something that young girl Star Wars fans can absolutely love and own and do with what they want. She's not relegated to this damsel in distress. She's the true hero of the movie, and that is huge to me, and that is really cool. There have been female Jedi, there have been female characters, obviously Leia, but like that she is the central badass, like new Luke Skywalker.
Yeah,
is amazing. My only problem is, and I talked about this a little bit on the Comic Bears, I'm not going to say the term that people have been throwing around, Max Landis and all that. I'm not getting into that. But I do feel like once the journey is complete, there needs to be more of an explanation for why she is so adept at what she is doing.
Yeah.
Because she took to it quicker than Anakin and quicker than Luke, I feel. But I loved it. I really was so happy with that. Just her badassery with the lightsaber and the mind tricks and the whole thing. She was awesome.
I like all the new characters' interactions. I mean, because you have Rey, who's kind of this new character that you're gonna go through their journey. You've got Finn, who is kind of the only real link of information you have to the First Order, outside of seeing what Kylo and Snoke's doing, which I really wanna know more about Snoke. I can't wait to see if we get to see any of Kylo's training in the next movie.
Or any of the other Knights of Ren. He's got a whole posse, and I think we saw a brief snippet.
Benicio del Toro is apparently supposed to be a major villain in the next movie.
Who I love.
As the Wolfman?
No, as the Collector.
Oh!
the white hair is back.
So, but I love, like, the thing I love most about Finn is the fact that you kind of assume, like, oh, the Force awakened him to be a good person. But then at the same time, I'm like, you learn that all of the stormtroopers are harvested as, like, children, which is what they did in the prequel movies, the Jedi did in the prequel movies. Like, we get babies, and then train them up from there, you know, and he was supposed to resubmit for programming. So they undergo, like, a thing. So we'll probably find out more about that thing if and when he wakes up in the next movie.
What if they do along the lines of the whole gay angle? Because his whole mini freakout is when the guy who's with him gets shot and then kind of puts the bloody hand across him. What if that was his actual partner?
I think he's kind of jonesing for Rey a bit, though.
I mean, a little
they
bit, probably.
That pretty strong.
Or maybe it was a female stormtrooper. I'm just saying, like, what if, because they did that brief little thing, like, that was his first big taste of combat, and then somebody else I read about bitched about, like, wait, so you're going to give a janitor your first crack at combat.
Hey, Roger woke up. Okay.
Yeah, they didn't send him out in the military.
And there's a whole fan theory that Phasma's actually Resistance, and she's been pre-programming Finn with stuff, and that could be just what she programmed him to do. But...
Do you know the problem with speculation is?
It's fun.
But
and it's not concrete.
It's not, because no. People up and down swore up and down, Kylo Ren is Luke Skywalker. Where are those people
God.
Now?
Oh my God. That
Where
was
are
the
they
worst.
Now?
I got a worse theory than that.
I've seen a picture of Adam Driver released on EW's magazine. Come on. You know he's not.
So that's the thing. Like, speculation is just the
quickest thing.
Yeah. But yeah, but what? I just really
Oh my God.
But when I think of PS, let's backtrack a little. So when you think of diversity,
yes,
it's diversity across the board.
Yes.
So it's not like I want to go into Star Wars and see nothing but black people.
No.
Like, so you have, you know, women as, you know, women as central characters with their own agency. You have Poe. Let's be real. He's a little ethnic. Like, you can't just say Italian.
But he's confusing, because you look at any role that Oscar Isaac's played, he could fit into anything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He's ethnically like ambiguous.
Yes, he's Ben Kingsley. Like,
nice.
There you go.
He's a British guy playing in India.
You have, you know, John Boyega, who is, you know, there as one of the principal characters, and that to me is really important, and it's more important than seeing like a plethora of people, because then you're just smacking people into roles. Like, right. I know people who read for the characters Finn and Rey, and the thing about Finn and Rey is both of their names are kind of androgynous. Like,
right.
They can be one or the other. Like, that to me is what's really interesting. Not necessarily putting as many black people or people of one color, or nothing, or like anything, but I mean, always putting in like 80 women as opposed to 20 men. Like, that's not really what diversity is.
Well, right. Like, the prequels had a lot of different ethnicities, but they were either caricatures or stereotypes in some cases, like the Trade Federation, like bad Asian message.
But so love the prequels.
And then that. But I mean, but then the main characters were all white men and women.
Yeah, we're just people of color just here to help the white people get to where they're going.
Hey, Mace Windu.
Other than Mace Windu. But no, I like I said, I think Rey and Finn are both amazing. I like seeing a Stormtrooper as a main character. I think that is an interesting thing that they have done in the movies. They've done in other.
Well, because up until then, if it did in the original trilogy, it would have just been the same guy over and over and over again.
But no, I agree. I'm glad that they're up in front leads of the movie. And again, I picture all the little girls running around doing Finn costumes next year, and all the little boys that have already started.
Yeah, like Andy's daughter, Big Jane, was ready for Halloween.
Oh, this year. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that's so cool. I'm just so excited by that. And so, in spite of all the technical problems, and technical plot and sci-fi and all that, the movie is spectacular for many reasons, and one of it is relaunches Star Wars into a whole new generation. I think about people who are going to start with this movie as their first Star Wars, and that, to me, blows my mind.
What I was, you are now. What exactly. I am.
It's exciting, and you know, I think the new movies coming after Rogue One, I'm very excited about, because Mads Mikkelsen is in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a period piece, air quotes, for Star Wars, set after before A New Hope.
Yeah,
the plans to get
it's
the Death Star.
Yeah, it's referenced in the scroller for A New Hope, where it says that there were rebellion, the Rogue One squadron. They've gotten the plans for the Death Star. And then that's all it's mentioned in there, and that's all it's ever referred to. And then this is going to be the movie about the two guys the two pilots that get the Death Star plane.
The one of the official words of the movie is that it takes place 5 years after the animated series Star Wars Rebels, and takes place, I think, 2 years before New Hope, or a year before New Hope. It's kind of the actual timeline in there.
So if you're following, you know, Rebels, which I've dipped in and out, and you can go back and watch it. That's good to know. The music, I did want to mention that real quick, because of course, this was surprising for me with Abrams involved. I thought they were going to bring in
Michael
Giacchino.
Giacchino
was like go-to, but they brought Williams back, of course. In Star Wars, you got him. You know, that guy and I'm sure he has people who help orchestrate. I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, it's a system. It's not just him.
Right.
Oh my God, it was so great. The soundtrack I actually got ahead of the movie and listened to it before. I tried to miss the caption of the titles.
I was going to say, they didn't do the same thing they did with like the episode one snafu.
It wasn't as bad. Like, hey, Qui-Gon dies. It wasn't anything like that. But
Duel of the Fates / Death of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Right, that or funeral. It was the funeral for Qui-Gon. But no, it wasn't anything like that, but you still could kind of figure it out.
It's
the
like,
one,
man, sure sucks about Han Solo, huh?
Why did they name a song that?
The one audio cue that I do remember taking away, and actually I talked to Divine Grace about, is the Snoke theme is the same as Darth Plagueis' theme from the prequels. It's not a theme. It's like Tibetan from Yes. When we get done with that, let's do that.
But it's not just Snoke's theme. It's Rey's theme as well. As parts of Vader's theme.
Yes. Yep.
It.
I posted that on my Facebook. Some musicologist friends analyzed the
music. Maybe that's where I saw it, and that's where it led it to other.
There's little bits of Yoda too. That's what's really interesting. And again, this is all
Ewan McGregor recorded lines.
Well, so the Rey's
not
flashback.
Even so much that it's the music, like Yoda's theme, Vader's theme. They're being repurposed into these other new pieces. Like Rey's theme has parts of Vader's theme in it.
And listening to it, you hear, and I think that's what Williams was going for. See, I don't fall into the, oh, this is him.
This is a sign.
No, it's he's remembering his previous themes, and he's recapitulating it in a way to make you go, oh, that thing, without actually being explicit.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Williams score is great. I hope they do an expanded one, because there's some stuff missing from the trailers that I was kind of really excited about, the soundtrack. Yeah, let's talk about the contest. that Nerdy Show is going to be doing to color. This is a cool, I love this idea for a contest.
Bring our episode art to life and you could win fabulous Star Wars prizes. And so really what they want you to do is like a coloring contest with their episode art for State of the Empire, the other Nerdy Show podcast.
All about Star Wars.
And it's all about Star Wars from speculation. If you want to be out there prospecting, looking for gold, like they are the people that you want to be listening to when it comes to Star Wars. So totally go to that website. It's on Nerdy Show. You know how to look.
I want to submit. I don't know if there's rules against us submitting.
Yes, there are.
Of course there are. It's kind of nice things. I did want to mention before we wrap up, Han Solo, I know that Harrison Ford has had a very colored, storied, I don't know what else to describe it. He wanted to be killed from way back, right? He wanted to,
from the jump.
From the beginning. So I was not surprised.
So basically the original version was Greedo just shot him. First scene, dead.
But, like, he's been very vocal about the fact he didn't really love playing on Solo. He's kind of like, I don't want this to be what I'm remembered for. But they brought him back. A ton of money.
And the promise of, we'll kill you in this one.
We'll kill you off, so you don't have to worry about it. I thought he was great, though. He was so alive and so... And he's up there, and he's, like, in his, like, 70s, I think.
He's had a couple plane crashes.
Almost a couple major scares. And so he was great. I think he was actually one of the... not strongest parts of the movies, but certainly one of them. Every time he'd be on screen, he'd just be like, oh, there it is. And then his scene, of course, with Leia.
Well, and he's even for the publicity, like, he's been full bore. He's been in it. He hasn't been, like, half-assed in it.
Nope.
You know, he's been very supportive. Like, hey, if I'm going to come back one last time, I'll make it a good one.
He even did that little Jimmy Fallon, they're singing a cappella, the theme. And the little Brady Bunch, Nine Square thing. So, anyway. I think overall, we love the toys, we love the BB-8, we love the exciting promise of a new era of Star Wars fans, but you know, it wasn't perfect. We had issues.
I just love how a lightsaber went from being able to vaporize a man just by swiping it near him, to now, and then, you know, cutting off somebody's hand like it was butter and a hot knife, to...
hot branding irons?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. It was that new crazy crackly?
But Kylo Ren's lightsabers.
Yeah, no, that's what they originally wanted lightsabers to be. It was all crackly and.
Well, no, that's it's supposed to be based on the old.
Well, yeah,
that's why it has the crossbar.
The story is that, but the actual intent is back what Lucas originally.
That art book that got like leaked actually completely explains like the little side things are actually vents and all that. If you can find the internet, you can find
when
it.
When they leaked that image, or when they showed that, they then had to go and explain it.
People complained, and where are those bitches now? Nowhere to be found.
Well, George Lucas complained, and he's actually got billions of dollars. So I mean,
why is he complaining? Why?
Because he's George Lucas.
Because he sold his property to white slavers.
Oh my God!
And like drove his legacy into the ground. You know what? What's really funny is that Star Wars fans, and like, I love Star Trek. Star Trek is my go-to. I don't dislike Star Wars, obviously. I really like Star Wars. I can like them both. But everyone made fun because Gene Roddenberry lost his fucking mind.
He really did.
And all the Star Wars people were just like, ha 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 ha. Then what did you get? Episodes 1 through 3 and white slavers.
I never thought that Roddenberry made it worse. I just
no, he did lose his mind.
Next gen after he left.
Yeah,
and by left, he died. But his son's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of cute.
He's super nice.
There was
and plus, Gene Roddenberry is still one of the greatest minds of sci-fi.
Of course. And also for talent, some of the best writers of today were on Next Generation or Deep Space Nine at some point in their careers.
Yep.
Like that was like the fertile beginning for like Twilight Zone back in the '50s and sixties. That was. Us for now, like Brian Fuller, I think, did a stint on Deep Space Nine. There was a lot of different people, actually, that had a good run on those shows. Ron Moore?
Ron Moore.
Yes.
One of those more. Any closing thoughts on The Force Awakens? Anything we can cover? We're good?
I'm going to see it a second time.
I am, too, actually. I really want to see it in IMAX, if I can. But,
that's what I'm going to see. If I'm going to do a third time, I want to make it the big... Point Orlando IMAX.
3D didn't add much. I didn't think 3D added, other than the opening, Star Destroyer coming at you. That was better.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, again, you can find us.
Just be happy that they really liked Oscar Isaac because he was supposed to die.
He was.
He wasn't supposed to make it past.
Charmed his way out of it.
Was it the crash or was it the torture scene?
No, I think the crash.
It was been the crash?
Yeah. That's part of the reason why there's no actual explanation why Finn, even though it's just vast level nothingness, still can't see one other person walking somewhere around. Yeah.
It was mirages, got it.
Every planet's freaking Arrakis. Every planet in that damn universe. Yes.
Why do you keep abandoning children on these desert planets? How does this make sense?
This is the last place anybody will look.
Services?
It'll toughen them up.
Yes,
they're the last place. The last place Anakin would look for his children
Sand
are
snow.
At his home planet.
Where is Luke at the end? On a fucking island of, or a planet of water.
Iron.
Yeah, basically. Well, again, social media. Facebook, Twitter.
You don't need to do this anymore.
We have an outro. We have outros.
I don't care. Go check it out.
Go to playmoneshow.com and scroll to the bottom. All the links
are
there.
All the chicklets. And in a few weeks, you'll have a full cast recording. So, yay. Talk about the things we could talk about today.
Such as?
And by then, sequel movie.
Oh, my God.
What?
We lost our long national nightmare. It'll be over.
Oh. And with that, may the force be with you.
Thanks for listening to Flame On Podcast presented by the Nerdy Show Network. If you like what you heard, and I think you did, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or just give us your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. Flame On was produced by Pat O'Rourke and Brian Flame On Pitter. A special thanks to all the Flame On listeners out there, you sexy motherfuckers, you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. There's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow! To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all your favorite social networks. Examples are MySpace, LiveJournal.com, WordPress, AngelFire has some good website hosting, LinkedIn is very popular for all your business social profile needs, and also AOL.com. You've got mail. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.